no words they can say to justify what they did to him. Not one word could they say that would justify anything. And they stood there, and Isaiah later said, and it pleased the Lord to bruise him. I'm like, wait a minute. He said, you're missing this. He's my servant. So let's find out exactly what's going on, because unless we understand how this servant thing works, we're going to miss the whole picture and the whole boat. And most of us are going to spend the rest of our life not even knowing who we are or why we're on the earth. Got it?
Yes.
So the word servant, write the word servant down, please. If you're taking notes, you ought to always be taking notes. The word servant in the Hebrew, it is spelled A-B-A-D. A-B-A-D. It is pronounced Abad. Abad. A-B-A-D. It is pronounced Abad in the Hebrew. It means bring to pass, comma, compel, comma, become, comma, worshiper. I'll read it again. It means bring to pass, comma, compel, comma, become, comma, worshiper. So when the Father is talking about who he's going to send, he says, look. The word behold means to look. My servant, the one who's going to bring things to pass, the one who's going to compel you, and the one who's going to become what I sent him for, and he's going to become a worshiper. Now, I'm trying to slow it down because I'm way ahead of you in my spirit. The word become, we know, is the same word that he used all bad in the garden when he put Adam there. He said, the Lord God took the man that he had created and placed him in the Garden of Eden, east. And that word, when he said he guarded and hedged and protected, I told you that word guard or protect in the Hebrew, the translation there is wrong. In the original translation, it is the word Abad. It means he put Adam there to become. So serving people is the key to you becoming who you're supposed to be. Serving, and look at the things. I'm going way ahead of myself, but I'm trying to get you to stay here today. I don't want to. So that means that there are things in your life that you've been praying about, and you're going to see today that as you serve according to what's written, you're going to see how things, they're going to be brought to pass. Come on, things are going to start happening for you.
Amen.
You're going to see how you'll be able to compel people to follow Christ because they realize you're not trying to take advantage of them. You're really trying to help them.
Yes.
Come on, is that real?
Yes.
And also, you're going to become. That means that who's in you is going to start manifesting outside of you instead of you trying to fix everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've tried long enough and you've been frustrated long enough.
Amen.
And then finally, you're going to become a worshiper.
Yes, yes, yes.
Come on. When you become a worshiper, that's a whole different dynamic.
Amen.
A worshiper isn't somebody that waits for religious moments to walk around and tell people about Jesus. A worshiper is somebody who driving in the car, and when they hear something from God, they have enough revelation to pull over and begin to lift their hands.
Yes, sir.
You're at home and you're watching TV, you have enough common sense to know that when you sense the power of God resting on you, turn that TV off and begin to lift your hands.
Yes, yes.
Come on, that's what he's saying. He's saying there's going to come a time in your life when you follow what Christ did that you will do. Why do you think so many times in the scriptures you'll see there's manifestation of healings for Christ? The next line says, and he withdrew himself and prayed. The next line, he withdrew himself and prayed. He withdrew himself and prayed. Why? He was becoming the Christ.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
He was serving. You can serve yourself into your kingdom. You can serve yourself into the kingdom, into a place where you will become the original you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Amen.
This is why it's so hard to serve people, because you think they're trying to get an advantage over you, but you're going to see today how God used that to give you an advantage over them.
Amen.
Because no matter what happens, when you serve them, you become who you're supposed to be. When you refuse to serve them, God holds you accountable for keeping what he gave you inside of you and not allowing it to come out, which means there's an investment and there's no return, and he wants to know, what did you do with it?
All right.
Come on. Now let's, as we move forward, because we got only a couple more scriptures, four or five more, but I want you to, this is a lot of revelation today. But let's be honest. Forget people around you. Lift your right hand. You got a problem serving people. Come on, lift your right hand if you got a problem serving other people. You have a problem serving other people. Now, I'm not talking religiously serving. I'm talking from the heart. Lift your hand. Right hand up. I don't have no problem serving other people. Some people lifting their hands like this. Some people in their mind going, people looking at me. Some people giving me the thumb. You know, you say you serve people, but are you sure you're serving people, or are you trying to use them to serve you? I'm not mad at you. I'm just asking you, because I want you to see how Christ did it, because he is our example. And when you do what he did, you're going to get his results. Christ served people till he died. Now you say, well, I'm not Christ. I didn't say you was. I'm just telling you how he did it. So we're going to see. We're going to start figuring out what he did. Let's look at this. And remember, it is to bring things to pass in your life. It is to compel you. Remember, when Jesus told the disciples, he said, go to the highways and the byways and compel them to come. The word compel means to convince. Come on, it means to convince them. So what is he saying? When you serve people, you're going to see yourself become. You're going to see yourself do things, and you're going to see how sometimes your frustration. You know how sometimes when you do stuff for people, they don't say thank you? I mean, come on, you know what I'm talking about. You do stuff for people, and they don't say thank you. What do you call them? Ungrateful. Say it with me. Say ungrateful. Okay. Did you know that ungratefulness, when you say ungrateful, is proof that you were looking for a reward for yourself? Because remember, the 10 lepers, Christ didn't go after them. One came back. Christ never sought them. He said, go show yourself to the priest. One came back and bowed down. And he said, where are the other nine? In other words, if you were thankful and grateful, did you mention it to them, or you just came back on your own? You missed that so heavy. He's asking them, did you tell anybody else how grateful you were? Because it says, and as they went, they were healed. They didn't even get to the priest. He said, as they went, they were healed. And one came back, and Christ said, were there not 10 of you? He said, where are the other nine? And he said, isn't this interesting in modern vernacular? He said, a Samaritan came back to give thanks. One who does not have covenant with our Father. He said, where are the other nine who have covenant? And he said, go, you are made whole. They were healed. He was made whole. Serving makes you whole when you understand how to do it. I didn't say to become a floor mat.
Right.
That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I didn't say be a floor mat. Don't get it twisted. It's different between being a floor mat and being a servant. A servant is a place of empowerment as God empowers through you. A floor mat is a place of ignorance because somebody has power over you. When somebody has power over you, you do whatever they say because you want to keep your job. You do whatever they say because they control your money. Come on.
Yep.
They control where you live.
Yep.
They control the roof over your head.
Yep.
That's power, man. That's illegal power. So when you live with somebody in their house, and I'm not talking about nobody, but I'm talking to everybody.
Right.
When you live with somebody in their house and they're not home, it's just respect for the clean up.
That's right.
Yes, it is.
I'll say that slow again. It's just respect for the clean up. People that live with other people like I have in my life, you understand what I'm talking about. Those that never live with nobody, you know why you don't live with nobody, because you don't clean up. Anyway. Come on, some people just, you know, and nobody does the things the way you do in your house, so you have to adjust.
That's right.
You have to adjust when people live with you.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I think I'm the nicest person in the world to live with, but when I live with other people, to them I'm a slob. And it's okay, but you still learn their moves and their tactics, and you help clean up. You don't just sit there, you adjust. So how do you serve people the right way? You have to know this. Serving people sometimes just isn't giving them $20, $30, $40.
That's right.
Serving people sometimes just isn't sitting there pretending you're listening. This is not going to be easy. It's going to be probably the hardest medicine you take, but you'll be all right. That's why when we call people during the week and they don't answer the phone and they don't call back and they tell you, oh, pastor, I'll call you back in about an hour. They don't call back, and then I don't call again. Then I see them at church. Oh, I meant to call you, but I forgot. That tells me the value of that phone call to you. Come on, it's the truth.
Amen.
It's the same thing with the Father.
That's right.
God looks for a response. If you do not respond, then he himself knows that you did not value what he did.
That's right.
That's why we say ungrateful. He's the same way.
Amen.
I knew that wouldn't go over well, but it's still well to go over. Because I know, see, people don't like to hear these messages, but it's going to get better. That's the hardest thing you got to swallow. Some of us have been ungrateful in the past. As long as you say the past, people agree with you. Oh, amen, Pastor, the past. Some of us are ungrateful 10 minutes ago, but that's another story. Why is that so? Because it is in our nature, because we have an intrinsic in us to be leaders, and that's fine. But we have to know how to serve enough to get Christ out of us.
Amen.
Until you see it from a servant's view, you will never see Christ in your life 24 hours a day.
Yes, sir.
You'll see it during crisis.
Yes,
you'll see it when you're in trouble. And you'll see it when you have somebody who really need prayer and they're dependent on you. And this isn't what I said before, and I'm going to say this. When people ask you to pray for them, if you're not planning on praying for them, just tell them.
Yes.
Be honest.
Yes.
If someone says, I want you to pray for me about this and that, you can tell them, that's not my assignment. That's your assignment. You go ahead.
Yeah.
That's not fair, but it's the truth.
Amen.
Why were you telling them, I'll pray for you? You know when you leave, you're not praying for them.
Right.
You're not praying. Look, come on, you're not going to pray for them.
Right.
Okay, right in your car. God, you know their heart. You should have just told them the truth.
Yeah.
I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel this is a part of my assignment, praying for you about this. So maybe you should check with somebody else. What I'll do is pray that God will give you the right person to pray with you.
Amen.
Because I'm not sure what you're praying about, and it's not peaceable with my spirit. What's wrong with saying that?
Truth.
The religious people, oh, I prayed for your body. Get home 3 weeks later. You call that prayer. I bent the knee for you.
Amen.
Anyway, so let's see how to get this the right way. Let's go to Matthew 20. Let's start here. This is going to help you. It's going to help all of us. We all need help.
Amen.
If you don't need help, then I'd like to see your cloud outside with a kickstand on it. Because you already got in the kingdom as far as God. Because all of us, as long as we are on the earth, we need the Holy Ghost. We need help. We need the Word of God. We need to live a life of integrity. And we surely need to be holy.
Yes, Lord.
We need to be holy. And you need to honor what God honors.
Yes.
Well, that's another story. I knew. Sometimes when I say stuff, I know it ain't going to go over well, but too bad. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Watch this. Just as the Son of Man, who is Jesus talking about?
Himself.
That's why you have to read the word, because Jesus talked in the first person, second person, and third person during the whole time on earth. He would tell you about what he did, he would tell you what he's doing, and he would tell you what's to come. Because he had an issue, not with his assignment, but with withholding himself. That's why he made sure he got out of here in 33 and a half years. Come on, you got to understand, I'm not trying to... He would always tell you about things that he had already done. He said, isn't it written that I said? He said that. Isn't it written that I said?
Right.
And then he would come to modern. Well, you know, the Son of Man has power to lay his life down and to take it up. And they're like, what? And he said, now, you'll see the Son of Man coming on the cloud, just like you said. They're like, what? He said, you'll see the Son of Man in his glory. And he said, and then I am. And they're like, what? And they're like, oh, you call yourself the Christ. If you are, just tell us. He said, you haven't been listening.
Wow.
He's the God of yesterday, today, and forever. That's all he was talking about. So watch. Verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a what?
Ransom.
For who?
Many.
Read it again. Everybody, verse 28. Ready? Read.
Just as the Son of Man did not.
Thank you for joining us today at Kingdom Ministries International. You can visit us online at kingdomfamilies.online or call us at 754-229-5641. We would love to hear from you. Remember, the kingdom of God is within you.